ज्योति बिंदु परमात्मा से है मेरी आत्मा, अब चल कर ले मिलन परमानंद का अनुभव कर, ओ परमानंद का अनुभव कर, तू धन्य बना जीवन।
ओम शांति, गुड मॉर्निंग। Okay, today we have with us Brahmakumari Anita, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for the past 15 years and also teaches Raj Yoga. She has done her master's in psychology from Osmania University in Hyderabad. She is a faculty for self-managing programs and has done sessions in many companies like Larsen & Toubro, Reliance, Bharat Petroleum, Parle Products and various other organizations. She has also done sessions for children for inculcating values into their lives. She is a trained faculty for values in healthcare, a module specially designed for healthcare professionals, and done sessions for various groups in healthcare. So we have with us Anita. Thank you.
Thank you. Om Shanti and good morning. So good to see that you are continuing the journey of meditation. Before we start off with today's session, I wanted to ask you, how many of you have attended both first and second day sessions? How many did not attend the first session? How many did not attend second? Okay. Just for the benefit of those who did not attend, there are hardly three. But still, we'll just revise a bit of the first two, because when we talk about yoga, we're talking about link. Link means two things. So, link between one and the other. And here the link is between the self and God. Simply put, yoga is connection. It comes from the word yuj, and it means connection, and it is linking. So, we need to know the first two steps before we can go to the third step. So just to revise, the first understanding that we've had in the first day and which you've been hearing time and again is about who I am. I am not this body, but I work through this body. This body is an instrument, like this mic is an instrument, same way this body is an instrument, but I am the energy which keeps the body working. The energy that keeps the mic working is... it's just physical energy, it's just, you know, jad, as we say, which doesn't think, which doesn't feel, it doesn't have any memories, it's not living. But this energy, which we call I am living energy, which we call chaitanya, as we say, which is conscient. I feel, I think. Who is the one who is seeing right now? It's not the eyes. Through the eyes, I see. So, I see the same mic and I might be afraid. I see the same mic and I might experience a lot of happiness. I say, oh, I have to reach out to so many people, so it's good there's a mic. But if I have stage fear, I see the same mic and I start shivering. So, I see based on my experiences, my personality, my feelings, but what I see is only through the eyes, right? I am the one who's seeing. Physical eyes only can create an image. So, all the sense organs are used by me, and this is me, a point of light in the center of my forehead. To say a point of light in the center of my forehead might seem, you know, very dull, very boring, but actually it's very interesting to know who I really am. And the real personality that I am is full of positivity. I am peace, I am love, I am happiness, I am power, I am purity, I am knowledge. Just hearing that seems very nice, but that's what I am. I am what I really like to be. I don't like to be angry. I don't like to be upset. I don't like to be negative. It's different that it's different that, you know, I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to be peaceful. There's a lot of effort I feel. But really what I like is what I am. I am peace. And that's why when I go, when I come to a place like this and I'm in a beautiful environment, I feel very good. Right? No TV, no newspaper, no friends, no phones, nothing. Still, so much of happiness, so much of peace. What did I really do? Maybe attended a few sessions and felt nice, felt good, heard a few things. It's not just about that, wherever you are. Now, the whole idea is not to be dependent on an external environment to bring out the peace within, but to really feel the peace from within, wherever you are, even in a chaotic condition. Whatever the condition might be, I am me, no? I cannot change, you know. If an actor is an actor on stage, he is an actor. He continues to be that actor and he continues to play his part. Whatever part he has got. So I got this part and what kind of an actor I am? I'm a very, very good actor. Why I'm saying good? Because I have all goodness inside. I have peace, I have love, I have happiness. So that's the first aspect. I am a point of light energy, but a very, very dynamic energy, and I'm so beautiful. Deep within, I am very beautiful. I have learnt a lot of things which doesn't belong to me, but deep within, I am that. I am peace. I am love. That's the first faith. When I understand this, I also need to understand that I need to recharge myself, and the only source of power, the only source of energy that is there who can give me power right now is God. Whenever I felt helpless, whenever I felt absolutely powerless, I felt there's no way out, I've always remembered God. Right? Whether I am in an examination hall as a small child and I've studied enough, but I don't know whether how I'm going to do it, whether it's at that moment, or whether even when the results are out and the list has already been put up and I'm going towards the list. I know nothing can be done even then. Or, you know, when I'm stranded in the middle of nowhere and I don't know where to go, no cell phone, no petrol, no, I don't know what all. Even in that helpless condition when I know I cannot reach out to anyone. Who's the one who's always reached out and helped? We felt that help also. We've all had our experiences. So God. Now, there's a saying that says, Doha, which you all know, Dukkame Sumiran Sabkare Sukkame Karina Koi. Jo sukhme sumiran kare dukh kahe ko hai. That's what it said. So whenever I had extreme conditions of sorrow in the sense for a small child, even that's a big sorrow. He's not able to remember the answer which he studied for. It's sorrow, no? So in that extreme condition of sorrow, I have remembered God. I have not been able to charge, but no, I've just remembered taken support, desperate condition of taken support and move ahead. The Doha says, Sukhame Sumiran jo kare, dukkha kahe ko hoy. If we understand this, if I am connected to God at the time when everything is going alright, I am able to take power, I am able to recharge myself, so even when things go wrong, I am able to be powerful. So it's preparation before the war. India trains thousands and thousands of soldiers each year. So many. How many actually go and, go for a war? I think 90-95% come back, get retired even without ever going to war. But still it continues to, from years it's continuing to spend crores of money on this training. Why? In case there is, I'm prepared. Right? So, this is the preparation that we have to do, that we don't know what kind of conditions we're going to face tomorrow. They can be anything. And they're bound to be. You go back and you think everything is going to be beautiful and nice. You're going to go back to the same place, no? Same challenges, same whatever family members or, you know, mother-in-law or, a difficult child or a difficult neighbor or a difficult boss or whoever it is. You're going to go back to the same thing, but what you're doing here is preparing yourself, charging yourself, not only charging yourself to last you forever, because nothing is going to last you forever. Even if you charge your mobile, battery full, it's going to work for me 2 days, 3 days. After that, you need to recharge, no? Not only are you charging yourself here, you're also learning the method of recharging wherever you are. So that's the whole purpose. But the source is God. God, point of light, energy. You must have heard many, you must have had faith in many images of God. And you must have really got an experience of some kind of experience, positive experience from some other image. Someone believes in Ganesh. Now, today we have the, yesterday we had the Visarjan. So, someone believes in Ganesh, someone in Krishna, so many images or whatever image belongs to that their particular religion. But we all know that beyond all that is supreme energy. Through working through all that is supreme energy. Now what happens, coming to the method of meditation, if I have to connect this wire, let's say it's broken and I have to connect, there is a method that I have to take off the cover, that the plastic thing I have to take it off, and I have to connect the copper things or whatever metal things that are there inside. Unless I take that off, I cannot connect that what is inside. Now, if I think I am a body and I try to connect to God as supreme energy, I have still not worked on half the aspect. If I think I am a soul and connect to God with an image, some people say it's okay, sister, all that is fine, but you know, I am not able to leave, imagining God as maybe Shirdi Sai Baba or Ganesh or something like that. If I am not in meditation, puja is another thing. In meditation, if I am not able to remove that and I am not able to see God as supreme energy, meditation is connecting two things, soul and supreme soul. Now science says when two energy levels are connected, greater energy flows to lower energy. If I am not able to make that energy to energy level connection, then what happens? I am not able to gain energy. I feel good even when sleeping, no? Last night we must have been tired. We slept, morning we are fresh. I feel good just watching the sunrise or the sunset. I feel good. I feel good going to a temple. I feel good, just being on a seashore. Feeling good is one thing. Relaxing is one thing. But empowering, recharging, for that we need pure energy to energy level connection. So are you comfortable with the idea of God as a point of light energy, His supreme energy? Are you comfortable with that idea? Yes? That's very important, because if you're not able to connect to that, then meditation becomes little of a struggle. Then the pure energy to level, energy to energy level contact becomes a little difficult. Also, when we say God is a point of light energy, we are also referring to God's personality as being something very beautiful, very powerful. We might have, stories that God actually puts us in, boiling oil to punish us or whips us or things like that, but never does God do anything negative, which is very, very obvious, because God is not an ocean of punishment or God is not an ocean of hatred. He is an ocean of love. We have always sung, Tu Pyar Ka Sagar Hai. We have always made songs in which we have referred to God as, God is an ocean of love, God is an ocean of happiness. We have said, Dukh Harta Sukh Karta. Dukh harne wala, sukh dene wala. We have never said, oh God, you're giving me sorrow. We have never remembered, God, please give me some sorrow. God, please take away my sorrow. That means He is an ocean of love and peace and happiness and power. Whatever qualities we are, He is an ocean of that. Having understood these two concepts, we need to know what is the method of connection. You must be having a lot of doubts. I was hearing even on the first day someone asking what exactly is meditation. The method of meditation is, many people say, where do we sit? How do we sit? Do we face east? Do we sit on the floor? Do we sit? Do we have a bath and sit? Do we, all these, do we eat? Can we eat and sit for meditation? All this. But let me clarify one thing. The method of Raja Yoga meditation is not just about sitting 10 minutes in meditation, but it's about a way of life. That means, it's not that I'm sitting for 10 minutes in meditation and then whole day I do whatever I want. It's not possible. See, let's say today at 11 o'clock in the night, I'm expecting my friend to come. Okay? And I have to go to the airport to receive her maybe. And she's coming from abroad. I'm meeting her after 15 years. And I'm right in the morning, I woke up. What's the first thought that I have? Because from 15 days, I'm waiting for her to come. I'm waiting for this day. So when I open my eyes, what's the first thought I have? She's going to come today. And as I move along through the day, each minute, I keep remembering, oh, this is her favorite food, I must make this for her. This is her favorite color, this is how she likes things. I must go make her meet this person, I must go take her here, she likes shopping. I'm going on thinking about her. Evening 5 o'clock, I sat for meditation. What do you think I'm going to remember? Right? I want to remember my friend. I don't have to make effort for it. I sit and I remember my friend. She is going to come at 11 o'clock in the night. I have done all the preparations. Still, I will remember her. Right? So, if I make an effort to remember God through the day, when I sit for meditation, I will remember God. It's simple. It's not just about remembering God in a very blind way and saying, oh God, 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 no. It's about making God, bringing God, making Him part of my life. He's there. He is a beautiful companion with me. And not only remembering God, but also remembering my original qualities. Being with myself. Today, people don't know how to be with themselves. You see people, you leave them alone for some time, you know what they'll do? What do people do when you leave them alone? Ask them to wait, 5 minutes, just wait, I'm just coming. What do they do in that 5 minutes? Use the mobiles. In a place like this, the only option is mobile. Use the mobiles. Read a newspaper. You see in clinics? Pick up a magazine. You got an opportunity to be with yourself. You say you don't have time for yourself. You got an opportunity to be with yourself. You should spend some time with yourself, no? Talk to yourself. Spend some time with yourself. No, we are not interested in ourselves, looks like. We are more concerned about, oh, why is the person wearing that red color t-shirt and don't know how long the doctor will wait. What illness he must be having? What is the concern with me? But spending time with myself, connecting with myself is the first step of meditation. So, when I'm talking about meditation, I'll be talking about two aspects. One is when you sit for meditation, what do you do? How do you sit for meditation? Where do you sit? When do you sit? How should you, should you sit with your legs crossed, etc., etc., etc. Those aspects of meditation. Yet, please remember, when you're talking about sitting and meditating, this is only net practice. You know what's net practice? Net practice is only for the final match. Net practice in itself is not important. Someone will say, I'll just do the net practice, I'm never going to go on ground and play. Then why do it? Right? Many people say, I spend 6 hours in meditation, I've heard of a lot of people saying, 6 hours in meditation. Why? Why are you going on doing the net practice? When will you ever go and live your life? 6 hours in meditation doing nothing every day? Okay, once in a while you want a special recharging, fine. But every day you just want to sit in meditation and do nothing else? Not reasonable. So, when you're sitting and meditating, you're preparing yourself for the day. When the final match takes place, you're going to have a lot of challenges, no? It's not easy for the person to perform. He might be in an enemy country and I should not use that for a game, but that's how it's happening. He might be in a country where people don't want him to perform, or he might have the pressure of performing because the opposite team it's very important to win over them. More than the game, it's very important that we should win over them. So there's a lot of pressure. and you have the just 3 balls and 6 runs to make, or I don't know what. So the lot of pressure, and in that pressure, in that moment of pressure, if he has to perform well, his net practice should have been very, very good. So when we are meditating, when we're sitting and meditating, we're actually only trying to prepare for how to change our consciousness for the day, right? So we give the best possible environment. That's why we have the red light and the music and everything else. We have an environment where you would much rather come here and sit for meditation, or even back in your place, wherever you are, you would much rather sit in a place which is more ideal for meditation rather than sitting in a railway station or in a crowded place where there's not much of good environment, right? So the choice that you make in terms of all these things which I'm going to tell you about is only, it's very flexible. It's only to help you and not to give rigidity. There's nothing rigid about Raja Yoga meditation. That's the best part. You must have heard a lot of things. If you go from meditation there to Brahma Kumaris, to the Om Shanti people, if you go, you have to only wear whites. Because you know, you saw one person who's wearing white, so you have to only wear whites. And you have to do this, you have to do that. No. There are no rules. None. None are rules. They're only optional. The disciplines, if you want, you can follow. If you want to be, like you know, someone was saying, it's not easy to be Lata Mangeshkar. Why? She has never enjoyed an ice cream. She has never enjoyed a hot cup of tea. She has so many things, parhej, which you say. She has so many things which she shouldn't do. She should not go out in the cold day. She should not shout too loudly. She should not. Lot of things. She has to do riyas every day. She has to get up early in the morning. Lot of things. It's not easy. There are many old singers living their life happily. They don't want to do all that. They're very talented. They might be as talented as even Lata Mangeshkar. But they chose not to go deeper and they said this is enough. It's okay. It's a hobby. But she chose to make it a passion and live her life. You know, dedicate her life to singing. So, she's done a lot of things throughout her life, which she's happy about. You might say it's difficult, but she'll say, no, I like doing it. So, in the same way, some people like us, we go deep into it. That doesn't mean that you have to choose the same way. Right? It's a discipline which you have to follow. The more you start following it, the more you will feel, yeah, I don't want to do this, I want to do this, I don't want to do this. You will want to experiment. Yeah, it's good to experiment before you give up. You can experiment and see what is it that you're gaining, what is it that you're losing, and then continue with the journey. Right? So, as I was saying, this net practice will, what I will be telling you, will help you throughout the day. So, first thing is, where to sit, when to sit, how to sit. Basic things. You have to sit for meditation, obviously. When you say, saying, Shanti se baitho, say, sit somewhere for meditation. Where? You can sit anywhere, you can face any direction, anything, there are no rules. There are no good directions and bad directions, no. Everything is good, everything is nice. It should be nicely ventilated, it should be nicely, you know, lit. It should not be a dull, dreary kind of a room. It should be a room which you use as a puja room maybe, or a balcony or somewhere where any corner of your room, of your home, which you feel is nice, good vibrations, right? If you're choosing a corner in your bedroom, make sure that you don't sit for meditation on your bed. Tell me why. The brain waves or the vibrations of sleep and of meditation, if you see physically, is almost the same. So you go slowly into alpha waves and then, like one of my friends, she says, I meditate very beautifully. I have beautiful experiences. So one day I peeped in to say, because we did the course together, I'm not getting any great experiences. And here she's sitting half an hour, 1 hour, and she says, it's not sufficient. I feel so nice, so peaceful after I get up. I peeped in and saw she's sleeping. She's actually sleeping with her head like that, no? So, it's very difficult to understand whether I'm awake or asleep also. That bad it would be. So, choose a corner where anywhere that you don't sleep. That's very important. Right? You can choose a place away from the room. There should not be any distracting noise. It's like, you know, if the TV is on in the other room and you are trying to meditate, it will never happen. Because you know, you're hearing the dialogue and you know who is talking there. And you know what is the scene before that and you know what is the scene after that. Even if you don't watch TV regularly. So it's going to distract you. So that doesn't work. Yeah, if you're living close to a railway station, if you have that announcements and if you have the train and all that, that's okay. Any kind of routine, kind of monotonous kind of sounds is okay. But you can use music, soft, nice, you know, like the soundscapes kind of music where you can, you know, use it. Maybe the earphones you can use, or you can have a external source where you can cut out the sound. Also, it'll help you to relax. Again, as I was saying, it's not compulsory. It's not compulsory at all. And apart from that, the way you sit, you can sit on the sofa, you can sit on the floor, you can sit wherever you want. Your posture should be alert and should not be, it should be alert and should not be too alert, too rigid or too comfortable. Not too relaxed, not too rigid. That means your focus should not be on the body. You just got your body to sit, be seated comfortably, and then you meditate. Because you're not going to meditate with your body anyway. You're going to meditate with your mind. When you're saying meditation itself, it's of the mind. Right? The only rule, which I always say as a rule, although it's not said as a rule, but I always say as a rule, the only rule for this kind of meditation is, keep your eyes open. That's the only rule. Because some people say, oh my God, open-eyed meditation, that's so difficult, that's not possible. It's not very difficult. Let's say, this is not meditation, but still, you can experiment with this. Let's say, you're here, you're all sitting, you're aware of people going up, going here and there, yes, vaguely aware, yes. You're aware of my hand moving, you're aware of the fans moving, yes, aware. You're aware of people around you, you're aware of everything in this room and everything seemingly going on outside, and you can also hear the fan. If you pay attention, you can hear, right? Now just think that you're all slowly getting up and walking out of this door here. You're walking out in groups, single, whatever. The whole lot of you walking out and going towards that side, towards the Diamond Hall. Slowly, you're going towards the Diamond Hall. And you enter the Diamond Hall through various doors. And you entered through gate number one, and there are some seats like this, and you went and you sat there. And Dr. Premasan is taking a class there, and he's talking about some aspect, and maybe he made you all get up, and he's, you know, the song going on. Where are you now? Yes? Did you close your eyes? It's not necessary. We believe that if we close our eyes, we are able to concentrate. No, we don't have to close our eyes at all. Were you aware of the fan? Were you aware of the sound it was making? Were you aware how many times I moved my hand? Were you aware of the people walking up and down? How many people went? No, not at all. You're not aware at all. It's very easy, very, very simple. It's just that I don't know what to give my mind. See, you know, you have this children. You know how children are? They keep running, 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 running. You want the child to sit on the sofa. You want him to sit because there's something broken here and he might hurt himself. You know that. He doesn't know that. You want him to sit on the sofa. What do you do? What do you do? You'll make him sit there. You think he'll sit? Then what do you do? You know it's dangerous. Shout at him. One option. Option one, shout. Do you think he'll sit with your shouting? No. Option two? Excellent. Give him a toy. You know his taste, no? He's your child. You know his taste. What he likes, what he doesn't like. You give him something, and that's what you all do. Give him something which interests him at least for some time. And you know the moment he's losing interest, give him something else. You know it's very important that he should be seated there. He should not get down. It's dangerous for him. if you shout at him, if you hit him, if you, which many parents do, tie, I've seen even this, tie him up. Why should you tie him up? You think he's going to sit there if you tie him up? He's only going to hurt himself. So, you understand the child and accordingly you deal with him. So, the mind is like a child. Mind keeps going anywhere. It can go, right now it's going somewhere out and saying, okay, I don't know about the Diamond Hall there, I don't know whether session is, they're doing the same session or something else. It can go anywhere. It can go back home. Today is, what today, Sunday? Oh, maybe today. Yeah, maybe it would go back home. Sunday, don't know what people are doing at home. It's a holiday today. I wish they were also here. Something. So, it can go anywhere. Mind has no rules, no regulations, nothing. Why was I thinking here about this? Why was the child running to that corner? Can you ever understand that? He can go anywhere, my mind can go anywhere. But it is the task of, you remember, man, buddhi, sanskar, mind, intellect, subconscious, the three aspects of the soul. It is the task of the intellect to guide the thoughts of the mind. So two things help in meditation. The intellect, has two special weapons to focus the mind. One is visualization. Visualization. When you visualize, you're able to concentrate. When you visualize, you're able to concentrate. So later during the session, brother will be showing us a video how to visualize. After I explain to you the method of meditation, he will be showing how to visualize. But visualization is a very, very powerful tool. And that's why you saw when you went to Diamond Hall, what happened? You're visualizing actually. So it's very easy, right? Second thing is contemplation. What do we mean by contemplation is, it is spending some time in bringing up, it's like churning. Only when you churn, the butter comes. If you want the butter, if you want the essence, you need to churn it. So you're actually churning, you're trying to understand. You're trying to go to the depth of it. You're not just blindly saying, okay, sister said I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a peaceful soul. It's not a mantra. No. You're trying to understand, oh, is it? I am peace. Yes, right now I'm experiencing peace. But why is it that I get angry at that time? Yeah, because I lost touch with my original self. But I am peaceful. So that is true. I am peaceful. Yeah, I am peace. Then you feel it. If you don't contemplate and try to blindly follow what you're hearing, then it's very difficult to concentrate. Because mind is functioning. So when the mind and the intellect both work together, that's concentration. That's the moment of concentration. The wandering mind has been brought and the intellect is working together with the mind, and that's focus, that's concentration. So meditation is, you can be in a thought, whatever thought you want to, you can create and be in the thought for as long as you want to, whenever you want to, wherever you want to. In a chaotic condition, you can create a thought of peace. I'm not saying you'll do it overnight, but that's the aim. That concentration to the point that wherever you want, whenever you want, for however long you want, you're concentrating, you're focusing, and that is meditation. We've had cases in which our brother, who is in US, 25 years meditating, when the World Trade Center incident happened, he was there, the Twin Towers incident happened, he was there inside the building, on somewhere on the 32nd floor or something. And he sent a mail out to us. I remember I was in Bombay at that time, and he sent a mail out to us immediately after the incident, sharing his experiences about what happened. He said there was chaos all around. There was extreme heat, because already parts of the place caught up with fire, and you don't know what will happen the next moment. And people were like jumping out from the 60th floor and jumping to death. It was that, people are not able to think straight. In the chaotic condition, he said, he told himself, all the 25 years that I spent in meditation, this is my moment of test. I don't know whether I'm going to live or not, but each moment I'm here, I need to do what I have to do. I have to spread vibrations of peace. I have to bring people out. I have to guide them. I have to give them courage. And so he kept talking to people around and kept, and people were so desperate, they were like, you know, they held on to anything that seemed of hope. So they kept, he kept collecting people and he kept walking down. He walked out with a group of people and 5 minutes later the building collapsed. So he sent out a mail. He said, even if I had died, I wouldn't have had regrets because I did what I had to, even in the chaotic condition. I'm talking about such chaotic condition. What do we face? What is it that we face? Someone shouting at us, someone being bad to us, someone, it's hardly anything. It's not difficult. That's what I mean to say. With practice, that's possible. Right? So, the first step of meditation is where you connect to yourself as a soul. So when you sit comfortably in a silent place, maybe with music playing, you have maybe red lights if you can. If not, you can just take, you know, something like this. Something at the back there you have, it's called a casket, you will get in the literature. You have in all sizes, even a small one. You can take that and plug it in. It's a small, you just need an electric point for it. You can plug it in and use it as a reference for point of light. Not because it's necessary. Ultimately, you're not even going to look at it. Just because you want to focus your eyes somewhere. In fact, you don't even need that. Just focus your eyes on any point in front of you. That's it. So, after you do all this, the first step is go within. Withdraw from the external environment and go within. See who you are. Who are you? A point of light, soul. I am a point of light. Visualize the point of light. Right in the center of the forehead. Yes, you can see. You're the one, it's your feet, and you're the one who is actually making this body working. If you're not there, then this body is not going to work anyway. Right? So, I'm a point of light, energy. And then, after you, and then contemplate on that. Yeah, I'm a point of light, I'm energy, I'm peace. Whatever you can remember about being a soul. After that, the second step is where you go, leave this physical body and go fly to your home. You know how to fly to your home? Just like you've gone to the diamond hall with this physical body, same way, as a soul, you have a home. Remember Paramdham? Right? Brother, if you can show, because some of them have not attended yesterday's session. So if you can just show the three worlds. So, our home is Paramdham, Nirvana Dham, as it is called. Nirvani, where there is no Vani, there is absolute silence. Paramdham, Mukti Dham, Shanti Dham, where there is absolute peace, that's where we belong to. I, the soul, as an actor, come from there. An actor comes from somewhere, no? As an actor, I come from there, I take this costume, I wear this costume, I play my part, and when I finish my part, where do I go back to? But do I stay there? I think sister must have clarified yesterday. An actor would never be happy if he doesn't get to come on stage. Good actor, I'm talking about good actor. You know, I was a very bad actor as a child, so I used to wish when my part will be over and I'll run away and I don't want to come on stage again. If I'm a bad actor, I would not want to come on stage. If I'm a good actor, I would want to come on stage again and again. Some people say, enough of this life, I want to go away and God, take me away and merge me in your light or something like that. No, I want to come. Every day you go out into the world, do your work, and where do you go back? Why do you go back home? You like being out in the world, no? So why do you go back home? Rest, relaxation, peace. That's done. Having done that, where do you go? Out into the world to express yourself again. You don't like to be at home permanently. 3 days you stay at home, you'll know how it is. Just 3 days. Don't go anywhere and see how it feels. You'll at least want to go have a walk and come back. Right? When you're not well or something, you're forced to stay. So home is only for rest, but actual stage is this, where you come, you've worn your costume, and you're playing your part. So, before you show us, let me continue with the journey. So, I, the soul, go fly to Paramdham. Paramdham is a golden red land. Can you imagine? Visualize? Golden red. It's a red land with a golden tinge. No? It's orangish, reddish with a golden tinge. It is Brahma Tattva. That means element of light. It's just light, that's it. It doesn't have the five elements. I, the soul, as energy, am there. In Paramdham. Feel the silence, feel the peace, and yes, that's the three worlds. This is the physical world, that's the subtle world. Subtle world is just like an aura around the physical world, but the real home that we come from is Paramdham. The golden red land there. And on top that you see point of light like a star, that is representing God. Okay, God is a point of light. Not that He is any bigger, but we're just showing symbolically as a bright point of light. And all those other points that you see there in the form of a tree, in the form of an inverted tree, you can see? All those are souls. We are like that in Paramdham. Right? And as the souls continue to come to play the part, the population increases. Paramdham gets empty and the population increases. Further on this, if you complete the 7-day course, when you go back to your centers, because it's a 7-day course, you will get more details on that. But for now, understanding that I am in Paramdham and I come here to play my part. So, we go to Paramdham. Why we go to Paramdham? It's very interesting. As long as I'm in this body, I'll continue to be body conscious. So, what I'm doing is, in Paramdham, I'm trying to experience pure soul consciousness. I am a soul. I am that. Free from anything of this body, anything related to this body. All that identification, I have this education, I have this qualification, I have this job, I have this family name, I have this, all this religion, everything is connected to the body, no? I was never born with this. I was not even born with my name. Everything is acquired. So in Paramdham, experience pure soul consciousness. And in front of me, I see God. God, point of light, powerful, extremely powerful, full of energy, full of love, full of peace, full of power, shining bright. And I visualize going there in front of God and getting His power. It's like rays of peace, rays of power coming into me and filling me. And I am as though engulfed in that rays. I am drowned in the rays. I sit in that experience for some time and then come back here. Before we go further, you can show the video also. This is just that visualization, the video which brother is going to show you. It will help you further and then I'll clarify it further. You see the soul going to Paramdham. That's the soul and that's the supreme. All other souls around, that's again Paramdham. With all the souls around. Okay. So just a bit of visualization. Of course, it's again created. You cannot create it as accurately as it is. But just for an understanding that it's like a golden red land and with souls sparkling there. Right? That'll help you for visualization. So when you sit for meditation, keep your eyes open and withdraw. Go within. First step, soul consciousness. You see yourself as a soul, as a point of light, energy, and contemplate on that. Spend some time understanding who you are, feeling who you are, and then slowly go to Paramdham. Take power, feel the silence of the home, take power, take energy, and come back. This is the exercise of meditation. See, as you do the course further, you would find other things, many more powerful thoughts, because actually you're empowering the intellect with knowledge. The only way you can really, really meditate is when you empower your intellect with knowledge. If the intellect is not powerful, the mind cannot be controlled. A weak parent can never control a child, no? The parent has to be powerful. The parent has to know the technique of controlling the child. When I'm saying controlling, it's not a very, very harsh kind of a thing, you know, because we use the word control in a very wrong way. Controlling is to be in control. You have your hands firmly on the steering, you're moving forward, you know the road is going to be crooked and you know you have to take it along in a nice way. Correct? So this is the method of meditation. When you sit for meditation, this is what you can do. Two things I would like to share before I go to the other aspect, and before we actually do, you know, exercise of meditation. One is, the whole method is like, you know, you must have heard of, there are numerous stories like this, that, you know, there is a king's son, he gets lost, and he is brought up in a, you know, Dhobi's family, and 20 years he stays there in the Dhobi's family, living like a Dhobi's son. Naturally, his personality, everything, his way of life, his way of talking, walking, everything is like a Dhobi's son. And suddenly, you know, there's some mole or something which they discover that is actually the king's son, and he's brought back to the palace. The story goes that he's brought back to the palace. Now the entire training for this boy, now he's a 21-year-old, and the entire training for this boy is to start behaving like a king's son. Okay, he's found. Now what? So the whole training is, see, you're actually the prince. You are the king's son. You are not the Dhobi's son. You are the prince. You are going to be the king. See, this is not a king. This is not the way a king walks. This is not the way a king talks. This is the way a king talks. This is the way a king walks. The whole training is about making him realize who he is. It's not about teaching him something. You take a Dhobi's son and teach him. How much ever you teach him, he's not going to learn. You are a Dhobi's son. You know, you have to be like a king. He's never going to learn. He's never going to have that royalty or that, you know, that kind of feeling in him. But maybe in the story, mistakenly the Dhobi's son has been brought. But still he'll change. He will change. Because the consciousness has changed. I am the prince. I am going to be the king. This kingdom is going to be mine. I have to talk like this. Initially people have to remind him. Then he'll start reminding himself. No, no. This is not the way I should sit. This is not the way I should talk. Right? So same way, here also, I'm just reminding of who I am. I'm really that. It's not even a lie. I'm really a soul. I'm a point of light. I'm energy. I'm this. I'm the one who is the master of this body. I'm the one who is the master of this thoughts. Everything. So when I remind myself, it's a consciousness training. It's a change in consciousness, and I become what I have to become. And concentration becomes very easy. The second thing I would also like to share is about my own experience. When I started off with meditation, actually I didn't come to learn meditation. I came to Brahma Kumaris because I had a lot of questions, a lot of doubts about who's God and what is all this, and why there is, you know, what will the world get to, and why does God punish, and all kinds of things. There's no clarity about a lot of things. And I kept asking, we went for a management course, and after that I kept asking my classmate who brought me to the institution, I kept asking him about, you know, things like, and he was a Muslim actually, and I used to ask him all questions about why Krishna is like this, and he used to explain to me, and I used to wonder, how does he know all this? He seemed to have a lot of knowledge. Not that he is familiar with the Hindu mythology, but having understood knowledge, he was able to interpret things in a very nice way. So I understood that somehow the 7-day course seemed to have answers of all these things. Any question, I have answers in the 7-day course. And after answering each question, he would say, why don't you do the 7-day course? What is a 7-day course? Okay, let me do it. It's only 7 days, 1 hour each day. I was in college. Said one hour each day. What's the big thing about it? So I went. So I never went for learning meditation, and the sister never knew that I didn't come to learn meditation. So she was teaching me meditation. And like everybody else, she used to teach me, and she used to make me sit in the meditation room. I'm supposed to sit for 15 to 20 minutes. There is a commentary. If you ever go back and learn meditation, they'll definitely make you sit with this commentary. This, our Sheila Ben, who did the history yesterday, her commentary. Very, very powerful voice and powerful commentary. But very, very boring for a person who's not interested in meditation. So I was made to sit there, and I was expected to sit for 15 to 20 minutes every day. And I was not the kind to sit. So 1 minute and I would run away. And sister used to think she's sitting in meditation. 1 minute also, why is that? Because I understood one thing. I'm a soul, I must go to Paramdham, take power and come back. How much time does that take? 1 minute. So I used to do that and used to go away. This went on. For 3 weeks I did that. The sister did not know that I am not meditating, and I did not know that I have to meditate for 15 to 20 minutes. I got to know this much later. So I just used to sit for that 1 minute, 2 minutes maybe, and I used to go away. Now, what happened is, maybe one fine day the sister suddenly realized that, she is running away, so let me hold her. I don't know why. Sister Radhika was there at that time. She was the one who taught me meditation. So, Sister Radhika, me and one more girl, three of us, she said, let's go into the terrace and meditate today. I said, okay. But how long? My fear is that because I don't know how to meditate. I'll fall asleep. I said, how long? It was 5 o'clock at that time. And the meditation, the traffic control, which we have, you know, by now you know what is traffic control. The song that is played at 5:30, and it's about a 3 minute or 5 minute song. So she said, let's do it till traffic control. So you imagine my condition. I said, oh God, half an hour, 35 minutes meditating. But I had no choice. I can't say no. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. We went on the terrace. There were 4 chairs, and three of us were sitting in the 4th chair. This other girl put some papers, and we were sitting and meditating. Sitting and meditating means I was still preparing myself. I said, what do I do? And I sat down. I had a lot of fear that I'm going to fall asleep more than anything else. It's going to be so embarrassing, I'll just fall asleep. And what will sister think? No, that's the whole point. As soon as I sat for meditation, I don't know whether it was, you know, the effect of the other two sitting or whether it was so many days of meditation. I don't know what it was, what was predominantly working. But the moment I sat for meditation, I experienced being a soul. That's it. No effort. I'm a soul. I knew I'm a soul. And when I knew I'm a soul, I experienced peace, happiness, bliss. I don't know what it was. Absolute silence. No thoughts. Nothing. The only thought I got at that time was, what is this experience? And immediately I just put the thought aside and said, wait, let me enjoy. Whatever it is, it's coming, so let me enjoy. It's come after a long time, so let me enjoy. And I put the thought aside, and after that there were no other thoughts except the deep experience of peace and happiness. I knew it was soul consciousness. No God consciousness, no remembering of God, nothing. Just soul consciousness. And after about 3 or 4 minutes, I think the papers started flying. So immediately we got up to the papers, put it on the chair, put something on it. I looked at the watch. It was 5:20. 20 minutes we were sitting in that state of meditation, and I didn't even know the time. This was not all. After that, I was going for some classes, and in those classes, see, I was going to this institute where the management was very, very stingy, and they used to pay 300 rupees to our senior faculty and ask him to teach us. And this boy used to do it because more than money, he'll get experience. So by the time he finishes the course, 2 year course, he also has 2 years of experience. So that's why he was doing it. And he didn't know English. He didn't know how to communicate. I didn't think he had any great command on the subject. And the group of people were extremely irritated with him, and we wanted him to, you know, stop teaching us. So we're going to complain to the management on that particular day. So I went a little early, and I was working on the system, and I saw this big lab with a lot of systems, and I was working on the system, and I saw this particular instructor walking from this side, this end to that end. And while he is walking, I'm thinking, my God, how hard he works. He works during the day, he teaches us, he studies, whole night he studies his own thing, and he studies our thing also, and then he teaches, and we are not very great students because we didn't make his life very easy. We used to really trouble him a lot in the class because we didn't enjoy it. And so with such people like us, he's dealing with it really great. How hard he works. And all that I'm thinking, he walked out. As soon as he walked out, I stopped working on the system, and I said, my God, what is this thoughts that you're having? What are you thinking? You're supposed to go and complain on him. And when my friends came, I said, I think once we should go and talk to him. and see if some problem. We'll find out what is the problem. Because even if we complain on him, another instructor, same quality. So what's the great use of complaining? And when we went, and spoke to him, we realized the only problem he had was with English. And so we started, there was only one Tamil girl in our group, so we started encouraging him to talk to us in Telugu. And we kept telling him that if you don't understand anything, we'll come after the class, is it okay and all that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Suddenly he was so relieved. He was living in tension actually. And because of his tension, probably he was performing even more badly. Suddenly the whole thing turned around. We are still in touch with him. The whole group, it was a very close-knit group and in touch means of course. But he turned out to be a big mentor for the lot of people who chose that field as a career. Such a vast difference. One experience, the whole thing changed. And that's what happens when you meditate in the right way. You're automatically, forget about right way, you meditate. The right way will come automatically. I didn't have a great right way. You keep meditating. 3 weeks I just kept doing and I found the result. You keep meditating and you find that you're changing. You find that your thoughts are changing. You find that things are easier. You find that relationships are working. You find that you're forgiving. You find that, situations are helping you, cooperating you. You don't have to proactively do so much for it. You have to only proactively do so much inside. You work on yourself inside. You work in the right way. Just do the little things that you have to and you would find a lot of difference. So this is sitting and meditating, right? Any doubts on that? When you sit and meditate, because I'm going to talk about the other aspect now, about what you should do when you're moving around, how you should work on yourself. But when you're sitting and meditating, are you comfortable with this method of meditation? You have to try it to know. Yes. You're asking if you have to concentrate here? See, the concentration is not anywhere actually, but it is more on the feeling that you have and the visualization of being a point of light or Paramdham or wherever you are. If you concentrate, for example, I choose a point in front of me and I concentrate on that, I concentrate just on that point, my eyes will pain, my head will pain. Your concentration is not on anything. Physically, it's not on anything. You're only fixing your eyes on a point. Why you're fixing your eyes on a point? Obviously, when you're looking like this and meditating, you will think of the clock, you will think of the person, you will think of so many things. Any point. I can choose a point on this mic. My choice. But let it be at eye level. That's a very nice thing. Not too high, not too low. Just at eye level. There's a lot of self-respect in that. Yes. You have to visualize. If you keep your eyes closed, the whole world is stimuli for you. You can think about anything. If you keep your eyes open, let's say I fix my eyes on this point, it's so boring, no? How much can I think about it? So, I'm busy. I'm busy thinking of myself as a point of light, thinking of what I am, thinking of what my qualities are, thinking about Paramdham, thinking about God, thinking about taking power, visualizing, contemplating. I'm so busy. This is so boring. So I'm not focused on this. So my eyes will not pain. If I try too hard to look at, some people say, we sat in your meditation room and there is, we have translates in our centers. So we felt waves are coming and rays moving. No, don't do all that. Physical rays moving and all this is not going to help you. You're not going to carry this point of light wherever you go, no? Remember, it's only net practice. A cricketer who's doing a net practice has an equally big ground. What he is doing here, he has there. We are not going to have a point of light wherever we go, no? So, we can only carry what we have. Our thoughts. Our visualization. Our intellect. That's all in our hands. Right? So, that's one aspect. The second aspect, towards the end, after we finish with the session, the last 5 minutes, I will be giving you a guided commentary and you can guide your thoughts according to the words that you hear and see how it goes. So you can do the same experiment in the meditation room, wherever you are. We have commentary, guided commentary series and all those kind of things which you can also buy in the literature counter. You also have, that's called Discover the Spirit, the visualization which you saw. You didn't see the whole thing. The very well made CD. Discover the Spirit. That's also very nice for visualization initially. See, ultimately you have to do away with all this. This is all initially, whether guided commentaries or whether CDs or whatever. It's just to give you knowledge, and then you're on your own actually. You should be on your own. Discover the spirit is good for beginners. Discover the spirit. Discover the spirit within. Discover the spirit within. Yeah, one CD has English and Hindi both. Apart from that, knowing myself, knowing God, a very, very wonderful commentaries by a sister Jayanti. She takes care of the abroad center. She's in London. Very, very well made series. Knowing myself, knowing God. Knowing myself is commentaries on the self, and knowing God is commentaries on God. So meditation, basically, all about meditation. So you can use every day. You can use one commentary, and you can just sit for meditation for some time, right? Yeah, so it just occurred to me, I should tell you, that once you go back, wherever you are, some kind of regularity you should have in terms of going to the center and meditating, if not completing the course. Let's say you're not able to complete to the course due to some reason, you're traveling or something like that. You're not able to complete the course. You may not be able to go every day also because of some routine, but at least we have a meditation room there. Try and spend some time in the meditation. You have a center almost like within 5 minutes of the place where you stay, you have a center. Nowadays, it's like that. So, go to the center and spend some time in meditation room at least. If you can, finish the course and then continue with the meditation. But otherwise, at least this much you must do. That'll give you a lot of, sustenance. And this is what will happen is after some time, after 6 months we meet you and you say, yeah, I learned meditation and meditated for some time, but now I don't know, I don't do it anymore. It's very easy to slip off. You know that. Even for any art, any exercise, anything, that's what happens. It's all the more true for this because it's very, very subtle. It slips off very easily. Now, I'll be giving a commentary towards the end, so you would be able to get more clarity. You know whether you're able to get an experience or not. You can always ask the doubts after you experiment through the day. You can ask the doubts before you start. Deepavan is going to take the fourth session tomorrow, the powers that are gained through meditation. Before the session, you can just ask the doubts, clarify the concept of meditation further before you go to the next lesson. That's what you could do. Right? Now the other aspect of meditation is, what do you do through the day? The whole day at our disposal, if we don't use that properly, it is wasted. We have, my sister is sitting here, we have a sewing machine at home, which is my mother's grandmother's. And the sewing machine is still kept, and still there's a lot of contemplation whether to dispose it off or not, because we lost our mother, of course. So it's like my mother's remembrance. It is there, you know, not supposed to give it away. And both of us know stitching to an extent, little bit. We can stitch something, and it has been, I think 15 years since we used, no, 20 years since we used the sewing machine. So my mother used to stitch regularly. My mother's grandmother, who brought her up, she used to also stitch regularly. If I have something to stitch today, do you think I can stitch? Can I use it? We were talking the other day, me and my sister, that you think we would be able to use it? You think? Yes. Because it's a very old machine, so... See, the people who know how to use the machine are saying very vehemently no. People who don't know to use the machine might say yes. You can't. Why you can't? It's a very good machine, no doubt. It has to be oiled, it has to be maintained, it has to be used. It has to be used. You have a very good vehicle. 1 crore rupees. Kept at home, not used. Anything that is in use is useful. Anything that is not used goes out of use. So how much are we using this? Right? How much are we using? In the right way. See, use means what? I have money. There are a lot of stories. People give 1 crore rupees to one person and see what they do with it. They just use it up. Use means was what? What do you mean by using? I got 1 crore rupees. What do you mean by using? Keeping it in the lock? Lock and key? No, that's not using. Just spending it? That's not using either. Using means? How? 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 Invest. That's the right word. I invested somewhere so that not only I'm getting present benefit, I also get future benefit. I invest it wisely so that my money grows and it doesn't diminish. That is using. Just keeping it in lock and key is not using. So we have this, so how are we using it? Just thinking, why is that person walking there, is not using it. The river water is flowing, I build a dam, I use the water in a proper way. I don't stop the water flowing. Stopping thoughts is non-meditation. Many people believe, I have to stop thinking. That's non-meditation. It's impossible. Try it and see. I shouldn't think is itself a thought, no? I'm not thinking is itself a thought, no? Like that story some of you must have heard. It since he went up to Guru and he said, one person, I want to be immortal, give me a mantra. And the Guru said, see, there's no mantra, you have to die one day if you're born. So no, give me a mantra, you're great, you give me a mantra. So he said, okay, take this mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, and say 24 hours non-stop, Om Namah Shivaya, you'll be immortal. He said, so easy. He said, yeah, so easy, but you should not think of a red-faced monkey. Red-faced monkey you should not think about. He said, okay, why will I ever think of a red-faced monkey? I've never seen a red-faced monkey in my life. So he went, he sat, put the asana and everything, he sat down comfortably and he said, okay, what did the Guru say, Om Namah Shivaya? But he said not to think of a red-faced monkey. So he never became immortal. And with great difficulty he concentrated and he heard the rustle of leaves on top and he opened his eyes and he said, what if it's the red-faced monkey? You cannot control the mind like that. Nor is it necessary, no? It's such a nice, sweet thing. Why should we force it like that and trouble it like that? So what we should do? We're just giving it thoughts, right? So throughout the day, what kind of thoughts are you giving? That's also very important, right? Like I said, Rajyoga is a way of life. Keeping God with you through the day is a very, very powerful means of actually being soul conscious. Because when you see yourself as God sees you, you see a soul. You see yourself as God sees you. How does God see you? He doesn't see how much bank balance you have. He doesn't see what education you have. He doesn't know. He doesn't even see whether you have made that blind man cross the road or not. No, he doesn't see all that. He sees you as a soul and he loves you for what you are. He loves you for what you are today. And if you are able to tune in, see right at this moment, if you tune in your FM, you will be able to catch the transmission. That means it's there in the air. It's there in the air. You just have to capture. You have to catch it. So, God's love is there in the air. He doesn't love me anymore or love her anymore or love him anymore. No, or any less. His love is equal. His transmission is going on. But what do I need to do? Tune in. When I tune in, I'm able to capture. I'm able to catch that and I'm able to empower myself. So throughout the day, keeping God with you in some relation or the other. You know how to experience God with some relation? Mother, father, friend, companion, child, any relation. What it is to have God as a mother? Unconditional love, nurturing, looking after, encouraging. Even if you fall, even if you make a mistake, no problem, get up, I'm here, don't worry. What it means to have God as a father? What does a father do? Looks after and then makes you worthy of the inheritance, give you the whole inheritance and, you know, he's happy. So what does God have? What inheritance can he give us? He is an ocean of love. He is an ocean of peace. He is an ocean of power. He is all that. Making us worthy and giving us. He is waiting to give us the inheritance. He make us worthy and give the inheritance. What it is to have God as a friend. Companion. Constant companion. Today take God as a friend. Take Him as a companion. Keep Him with you. Talk to Him. You know how to talk to God? Very, very important. You do it all the time, but maybe the conversations are, God, what do I do? How do I do this? Maybe the conversations were that. Now, no. I am a soul. I am a child of God. I am like you, God. I am actually like you. And I can see myself, when I see with your through your eyes, I can see myself as you see me. I'm your child. And be with me today. Anything nice I say, God, such a beautiful thing. The way you would see it, tell a friend, no? You're not alone. Even if you're with a companion, still take time, give space for God. Between the 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 of you, give space for God also. Talk to Him. You would forget. You would not remember constantly, but try and remember. The more you remember, the more when you sit for meditation, it becomes easy. Each day take a new relation with God. You know how to make God your child? God your child? You know, Brahma Baba, when Brahma Baba was there, when, you know, the whole task was going on, God's task was going on through Brahma Baba. Yesterday you heard the history. And when people used to come, someone used to come, he has 3 children, and he used to come and ask, Baba used to ask, okay, how many children do you have? And he used to say, 3. And he used to say, no. You have 4 children. Who's the 4th child? I remember in one place, there was this center in very, very rural background, and there was this husband and wife, very, very, you know, poor. And they didn't have any money as such. They just had that agriculture thing and a small little land, and just about enough to, you know, look after their family. He had 2 children, and every other day he used to get something. He used to get some chocolates, he used to get some bananas, he used to get something or other every day. So the sister felt bad, you know, what is this? Every day you get something, it's not necessary. So she tried telling him once, twice, thrice, and he used to smile and no, nahi didi, he used to say, and he used to still keep getting. Small little things, nothing big, but he used to get, definitely used to get. Every day something. So sister finally made him sit and said, tell me, what will make you stop getting all this? Don't do this. No? You have to look after your children and everything, you have to do all this. So he used to say, Didi, aap nahi samaj rahe. I have made God my 3rd child, no? I'll give 2 children, I'll not give the 3rd child. How is it possible? So I have to get for the 3rd child also. I have to, don't stop me. And really over the years we have seen how he prospered. How everything changed. You know, when you start investing, he's invested, actually he's invested. That little, you know, 1 banana which he brought must have gone as prashad to 10 people actually. So 10 people's good wishes will work, no? Definitely it will work, no? So the whole thing became very positive, and how he grew, you know, that's how it is. So making God your child means, not that you have to get things, but making God your child means, are you doing justice? If you're giving your 10 thoughts to 1 child and another 100 thoughts to the 2nd child, are you giving 1,000 thoughts to your actual child, the child who's actually going to look after you? These children may or may not look after you, but this child is going to definitely look after you. So are you giving that 100 thoughts to that child also? So investing, you know, your energy and thoughts in the right way. So keeping, having a relationship with God. This kind of meditation is not a dull, dry meditation. If you want to just go to Parandham and come, you will not enjoy it. You will not enjoy it at all. It is about having an experience, having a relationship, even in meditation, talking to God and conversing with Him. If you're not able to concentrate immediately, talk to God and converse with Him and put across. I always tell, morning when you start the day with meditation, night before you go to sleep, talk to God, finish off. If you want to write to God, finish it off. Give everything off to God and then go to sleep. The last thought, experiment with this and see, the last thought that you sleep with, that's the first thought that you get up with. 100%. If you want, take a thought and see. Think of a friend you have not thought of for many days and night you go to, not tonight, do it after a few days. Tonight you think of God in sleep. So, think and see, morning you will get up with the thought. In spite of all the dreams, all the disturbance, everything, morning you will still get up with that particular thought. So tonight when you go to sleep, remember God, talk to God, give everything away to God. Good things, bad things. You don't have to give only bad things. Everything. Talk to God. Give it. And then go to sleep. After meditating, do that exercise and go to sleep. And morning when you get up, reinforce that. So what you're doing, I'll tell you what the method is. You're at this level, let's say. By meditating, you're going to this level. Throughout the day, you're not allowing discharging to happen. And night again, you're going to this level. You started here and you're here. So tomorrow morning, again go here. If you don't maintain this, today you meditated, came here, and then went back here, and then again tomorrow you meditate, you're not going any further. So you connect the two. It's actually not two different things. It's actually change of consciousness through the day, 24 hours. Like Dadi Janki. Most stable mind in the world, you must have heard, someone must have mentioned. Most stable mind in the world, 24 hours, she's constantly in the state of meditation. Decision making or meditating or eating or sleeping or walking or whatever it is, they measured her brain waves, she is in the state of meditation. That's the aim. Someone who's meditating since 20 years maybe is like able to manage a little more percentage, maybe 30, 50%, 70%. If you started off just now, you might start with 0.1% more than enough. Even 0.1%, it's a start. You're recharging. When your battery is your cell phone is totally down, that, you know, 1 minute you get a chance, how it is? At least they can send an SMS. At least they'll take the phone number. It's like that. So start. Start meditating. Start experiment. And then you would find that. Okay, we're going to have about 3 or 4 minutes of meditation. I will be giving you a guided commentary. You don't have to say anything. You just have to sit back, relax. Probably you heard the commentaries other two sisters must have given you. But this is the complete exercise. So sit back, relax, open it, keep your eyes open, focus on the point there if you want to. Or if it's too high, you can focus on a point in front of you. Just at eye level, in the front, somewhere in front. And just allow the words that you hear to guide your thoughts. Om Shanti. As you sit here in this peaceful environment, for some time, I leave everything outside and just focus on this room. I'm aware of everything around me, the people I'm sitting with, the fans above my head. I'm aware of everything that's going on in this room. But I know for some time I have actually cut off from everything that's going on outside this room. I am here. And this is the only reality for me. In the same way, let me withdraw into my own private room. In the center of my forehead. And I see myself for what I am. I am a point of light. I am energy. A shining star. I'm beautiful energy, allowing this body to work. I, the point of light, I'm peace, I'm happiness, and I'm love. Penetrating to throw all the layers of acquired qualities, acquired sanskaras, I see myself, how beautiful I am. I enjoy being with myself. I like the way I am. And I know when God sees me as His child, He sees me in the same way as a point of light, as pure energy. Remembering God, I fly to Him in a second. I go where God is, in Paramdham. I see Paramdham, the beautiful golden red land, which is my home. It's also silent, also peaceful. I, the point of light, am here in the silent world, and I feel deep peace. And in front of me I see God, also a beautiful point of light, but much more powerful, much more radiant. His rays of peace and love flowing into me. Empowering me. Rays continuously flowing from God into me, the self, the soul, the point of light. It's as though I'm drowned in rays of peace. I feel so peaceful, so powerful. I enjoy being in front of God. I enjoy taking His power. This is my only reality for some time. Having filled myself with God's power, I come back onto my throne, my seat in the center of my forehead. But now I know I'm a very, very powerful point of light. I filled myself with God's power. Sitting here, I spread rays of peace from my forehead out into this room, reaching out to each and everyone. And making this room very, very powerful. So when I go out from here, I'm going to take this thought with me. I'm going to remember who I am and whom I belong to and from whom I'm taking power directly. Om Shanti. So you were able to concentrate? How many of you are able to concentrate and finish the exercise of going to Paramdham and come back? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. How many of you are able to, with the distractions, go to Paramdham and come back? Okay. See, distractions will be there. It's not that it will not be there. But how quickly you are able to bring your mind back? That's more important. Don't expect 100% concentration immediately. Right? It's not good also. Then you will not know what waste thoughts you're going to get. You'll not know how to win over them. So it's okay. A little bit of waste thoughts, then you will know how to win over them. Right? It's a training. If you have nothing of a problem, then how will you train? What will you train? So it's okay. But how quickly you're able to turn it around and come back. That's most important. Okay. Did anyone feel sleepy? Okay. It could be because you are not used to getting up early. It could be. You must try the same exercise sometime later during the day, which is your best part of the day, maybe in the evening or something. And see, if you still feel sleepy, then you must talk to the sister that as soon as I sit in meditation, I fall asleep. So it's not good. Did anyone have any other experience of head paining or something like that? Anything? That's great. So you're on the right track. You can start experimenting. Today is the day. Yes, brother. Closing your eyes is an easy way out. It's your choice. You can close your eyes and meditate. Although I said it's a rule, I'll still say it's your choice. But If you close your eyes and meditate, the experience will go the moment you open your eyes. So it's up to you. You want to carry it forward into the day or you want to limit it here. I know of a person who learned driving, and when he learned driving, you know, he had to take out his chappal. The person who taught him said, don't wear your chappal, feel the accelerator, feel the brake and all that. And he learned, he started driving to work and all. He used to come back, take off his shoes, go for a drive. You know how it is? So if you close your eyes and meditate, you will limit yourself only to closed eye meditation. Throughout the day you will not get a chance. In the middle of a traffic jam, you can meditate. Half an hour you're in a traffic jam, you can meditate for half an hour. But if you close your eyes and meditate, in a traffic jam, if you close your eyes, you know what is going to happen. You'll have people honking at you. You'll not be able, because inch by inch you're moving forward, no? So that is why. Okay, so you can. But what I suggest is, if you're tempted to close your eyes and make an attempt to open it again and keep your eyes half open. So that's why don't concentrate on anything. You have to concentrate within. You're not concentrating outside. You're concentrating inside. You're like that. I understand what you're saying. So what you could do is, if you're looking, if you chose this as a point, keep your eyes half closed and make your vision hazy. You know, hazy. Yeah, but don't close your eyes if you want to get long-term benefit. Then automatically open again. Because it's important. You'll get close. Open it again. You'll get close. Open it again. Like that. Practice, no? It's a practice. You know, just because you're not getting something. See, I'll tell you. If you play tennis, there is a point where you have to serve from. Or you've watched tennis, even if you don't. Just because my ball doesn't go over the net, doesn't mean I go two steps forward and then learn the serving. I have to practice, no? It's my problem. I cannot change the whole game. Right? So same way, make an attempt. It's very easy. It's not very difficult. Okay, Om Shanti. Yes, brother. Absolutely. That means you're having good experience, no? That you're not knowing time. You're not knowing time is good. You're getting a good experience. Huh? 15 minutes have passed and you don't know where you are means then it's a problem. Waste thoughts. 15 minutes have passed and you're having a good experience, then it's good. That's the ticking. It's not like I was sitting, oh, I sat so long but I don't know where I was. I don't know. I don't have any great experience. That's not good. I have to know what is the quality of my thoughts. Okay, any other doubts? You can always approach us. Any of our, you know, all the sisters by now, you know so many of us. So anybody you can approach and you can ask all your doubts. Please experiment today as much as you can. You will get the maximum benefit then. Okay? Om Shanti. Thank you.